is an illegal backdoor bribe to force every state to allow their people access to a federal benefit they otherwise couldn't afford. That's right-wing Tommy rot, which was rejected by both the district and appeals courts, and even corporate interests have dubbed the claim absurd. Nonetheless, the gang of Supremes grabbed the case as a chance to wreak their own brand of ideological havoc on a law they personally dislike. This is Jim Hightower saying, by taking over this case, these Republican judges have openly become partisans, thrusting the Supreme Court itself into the forefront of the GOP's war against Obamacare and against Obama himself.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
Say hey, it is Monday. The time is 5:32. The digital clock in front of me has yet to update to daylight savings. Noobs. It's really throwing me off.
As was your cell phone today, I hear.
That's right, yeah. I just flew back into the state earlier today, and I was manually updating the time zones and forgot once I got the mountain in my transfer, and I got here and rushed up thinking I was here like 15 minutes before my show. And I had a whole nother hour.
Yeah.
That's okay. I had a good time back east. I had a great time.
Nice.
Fabulous Washington, D.C.
Yep. I saw that one picture. Snow-covered ground.
Beautiful.
Yep. I was a little jealous, actually.
It was actually really nice.
Nice.
And watched some hockey.
Sweet.
Good hockey culture.
Did you go to a Caps game?
Didn't get out to a Caps game, but watched the home games on television.
Cool.
Obviously, the Bullets are falling apart, so there's a lot of rumbling about the Bullets.
They're the Wizards now, Jake.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That's never going to register with me. They're always going to be the Bullets. That's the way it is.
Yeah.
It's only been, what, 15 years since they changed their name? That's okay, especially since they brought back the red, white, and blue jerseys.
No, that's the way to go.
All I see is the Washington Bullets.
Totally.
Yeah. The Wizards, to me, are those wacky MJ jerseys.
With the
tealish white.
Tealish green.
Yeah.
I mean, blue.
Yeah. Not
light blue.
Not a good look.
No.
Agent Zero, he's a wizard.
Yes.
Yeah.
And ironically enough, he's the one that brought the guns to the locker room.
That's true.
And they had changed the name originally because of the soaring gun violence in Washington, D.C.
I think they
should. Not soaring, but the high.
I say bring it back. It's not going to happen.
The Bullets?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, Washington Wizards is kind of like a little wink and nod to the wizardry of the politics there.
Yeah.
So is that any better? That's
I
almost just as insulting as Bullets.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think the Colt 45s are coming back either.
No.
No. I hope you can tell I'm being facetious. The Bullets aren't coming back. It's no. Okay.
The good thing about like minor league teams is they don't get the attention.
No.
So you still have some wacky names out there.
Yeah, just wacky.
You know?
I mean, I don't find the Bullets to be an offensive name.
I just
think it's wacky.
It's an inanimate object.
Yeah, yeah. But
if they were like, you know, the Washington Murderers.
Yeah,
or something,
yeah, yeah. Or the Washington Redskins.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, Washington, I guess, has a real knack for offending people with their sports teams.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like, why was there such a clamoring for Bullets, and where did that come from? And yet, we haven't had any change on the Redskins.
You can get rid of the Washington Bullets. But you can't get rid of the Washington Redskins.
The one that actually offends an entire group of people.
Yeah, how does that work? I don't know. I guess it's politics for you, noobs.
Wild, wacky stuff.
Yeah, that's why I'm running for mayor. But
nice.
Let's see here. Let's get into it because this is a weird football day in the middle of March because the 49ers have officially crumbled to to nothing. The domino effect has taken full hold, and it's just. It's completely out of control.
Yeah.
Everybody knows about the coaching weirdness and all of that stuff, and you know that some of the players have been jumping ship, and they're getting, you know, they're kind of getting rid of people gradually.
People see the writing on the wall.
Well, Frank Gore officially parted ways the other day, even though tomorrow he'll sign with the Eagles in all likelihood.
Right.
Possibility, I guess, of the Colts sneaking in there late, but
all these rumors we've been hearing are pretty much going to come true, though.
Yeah.
They can't officially announce it till tomorrow. That's when the league
starts. Yeah.
But pretty sure that all those that you've heard are going to happen. Sue to the Dolphins.
Correct. But so Gore is gone. That's, you know, the Niners saying, we want to bring him back. Well, he's not coming back. He's going to the Eagles or the Colts. Justin Smith is officially going to announce his retirement. That's something that's been kicked around, that people kind of thought maybe he'd come back for another year. But given, you know, the disaster that the Niners have made of things, why would Justin Smith want to come back for another
year? Himself through a 3-13 season or something.
No thanks. Mike Iupati today is going to announce tomorrow that he's signing with the Cardinals. They're all pro offensive linemen. Ahmad Brooks is gone. Michael Crabtree is not going to sign with the team. That's very plain to see. And today, though, the real shocker, Patrick Willis is going to announce his retirement tomorrow at the age of 30.
That's crazy.
Seven straight Pro Bowls, his first seven seasons in the league. The only reason he didn't go last year was because he wound up having toe surgery 5 weeks into the season. We're talking about a guy that was, and may still be, just on a jet stream to the Hall of Fame.
Right.
For, you know, as far as linebackers go. And he's going to hang it up. That's what the word is, all but confirmed. Tomorrow he will announce his retirement. Speculation is that he wants to, you know, be closer to his church, and he's become more religious and so forth, which is all well and good, and, you know, makes sense. If he's a religious man, you look at the Niners, and they're pretty much hell personified. So a Christian man like himself would want to flee from that. But yeah, the Niners are a bigger disaster than you ever could have imagined, say, 6 months ago.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, is it just ridiculous at this point, Noobs?
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of surprising, like, how quickly this house has fallen.
Yeah.
You know, just a couple of years ago, I think I was thinking that this was going to be a Harbaugh-Kaepernick dynasty for a decade to come. And,
right.
You know, obviously problems with the front office and, you know, Coach Harbaugh, and now he's at Michigan, and now, you know, you see this mass exodus, of players, well-known players,
right,
and then capstones of this franchise for the last, you know, 5 to 10 years in a lot of cases.
Yep.
And, you know, they're not going to be good for a while, and that's just the reality that the local fans and Niners fans across the nation and around the world are going to have to deal with, is that they're going to be rebuilding for at least, you know, 3 to 4 years, I'm thinking.
Yeah, as quickly as it came back, it's gone away.
Yeah.
You know, they were really lousy under Singletary and
but
Mike Nolan
before
that.
There.
They were lousy under Dennis Erickson, and they had that little block when Harbaugh showed up, and now it's gone.
It's gone.
Completely gone. And you know, it's what's really strange is, I don't know, I mean, you like to fall back as you got this franchise history and you like to think of them as always being winners. But that's really not the case. Like, I like to look at it
from the 80s on.
Yeah, from the 80s through the 90s, yeah, they were a wonderful franchise.
Absolutely.
And one of the greatest of all time over a 20-year span.
But they're not the Steelers.
But they're not the Steelers. They've gone through hard times. They don't have real good ownership. Their GM seems to be confused as to what they're supposed to do. And to me, yeah, you look back on the past, and that's all well and good. But, like, the Super Bowl win in 1995, you know, January of 95, the 94 season, that doesn't mean anything to me anymore. I was a kid when that happened.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not going to sit around and crow about the greatness of the Niners for what they were doing 20 years ago. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I want to start.
But they've, like, I mean,
yeah, they had that great run recently. But, I mean, I don't want to hear people talking about the greatness of the franchise and how anything other than a Super Bowl is a failure when people like Jed York says that. It's like, you know what? They haven't been very good in recent times other than a few seasons. You know, they've been lousy for the last 15 years, other than 3 years.
Since the early 2000s, the last couple playoff runs there with Jeff Garcia.
Yeah.
You know, they had some moments. I mean, up until even like 99 with that great catch by Terrell Owens. I mean, they were good, though, for two solid decades.
Oh, yeah.
Not just good,
great.
But they were arguably, you know, the best franchise in that 20-year span.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
They won five Super Bowls.
They won five. The Redskins won three. You know, the Giants were good. The Cowboys won three. But the Cowboys weren't as consistently good as the Niners were.
No.
The Niners did it over two Hall of Fame coaches. I think Seifert's in the Hall of Fame. Maybe he's not. But they did it with two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, two different coaches. And to be able to reload like that, you know, whether or not they were tinkering with the salary cap, you know, as some people have whispered, but, you know, nothing's really ever come of it. People don't really look back and say, oh, those things need an asterisk.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
So you know what? They did have a great run. But, yeah, I think to your point, what you're trying to say is, like, they don't really have the historic, like, nostalgia like the Green Bay Packers or the Chicago Bears. I mean, they don't go back to the 40s and 50s.
I mean, and that's not – that doesn't bother me. And, you know, because, I mean, what the Niners did over 20 years is, like, you know, it's almost an unmatched thing other than, say, what
the
Patriots
have
entered that same realm.
Right.
But it's just like, you know, you got to get over that. Whether you're a fan or you're the owner or whatever, it's like – This is now. You know, I don't want to live in the past. Like, you can't convince me that this next 49er generation is, like, on the cusp of some great thing. Because, I don't know, it's just like, when you're going back to the well and reliving the old glory when you're looking at what's happening now, you know, like...
Man.
Like, I don't want to, like, spit in the coffee of Seahawks fans because they lost the Super Bowl last year and won the year before. And be like, oh, you know, you only got one Super Bowl. We got five. It's like, who cares? That fifth Super Bowl came 20 years ago.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't mean anything other than it's a cool thing to look back on.
No, it is. Wow. Okay. You're bitter today.
I'm just saying, like, it's time to live in the now if you're a Niner fan.
I hear you, but at the same time, Jake, you as a Niners fan should appreciate it, and I'm sure you do. That, you know, it's better to be a fan of a franchise where you at least have that past and have those expectations of the future. Like, you're not the Tampa Bay Buccaneers where you had that one 3-year run and then that's it. And they've pretty much stunk for the 30 years of their existence. Okay, you at least have a franchise that's won five Super Bowls, you know what I mean, in two different decades. And you can sit there and say, you know, that as a franchise, like the Steelers, like the Packers, like the Patriots now, the Giants, these types of franchises, that you can expect and want to recapture that glory.
And
you are going to have a couple down years. But, I mean, for the most part, I think as a Niners fan, you want to expect that you're going to make the playoffs 7 out of 10 years.
Yeah, no, you want to expect that. And I think the really down thing for me is looking at the ownership and how seemingly clueless Jed York is.
Right.
It's just like, I mean, how did they even luck into this Harbaugh thing for these few years in the first place with all the with the decision making that he shows himself to have? Like, how did that even happen?
Well, I think if Harbaugh was somewhere back east, it probably wouldn't have happened. The fact that he was coaching at Stanford, I think, had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? All he had to do was look in his back door and see Harbaugh. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because next year, I mean, look at this offense. You're looking at Kaepernick, an underachieving quarterback. The guy that was, you know, his kind of the league has figured out a bit.
Right.
Like, suddenly he needs to find his way back.
Well, so is he underachieving now or was he overachieving his rookie year?
Either or.
Six or one half dozen.
He's definitely not, like, the guy that you thought he was initially.
Right.
You've got him, and then you've got Carlos Hyde, and then you've got a running back that missed the entire season with an ACL tear.
Right.
Those are your two running backs. And Trent Baalke's talking about a three-headed monster. You don't even have a third running back.
He's assuming he's going to get one in the draft, I imagine.
And what kind of teams work well with a three-headed monster running game? Teams with a good passing game.
Right.
Teams like the Patriots.
They're not guarding the gates of Hades.
They don't have a good passing game. And so let's say they sign Torrey Smith, which they're supposed to do tomorrow.
Right.
Great. Torrey Smith's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
He's not that much better than Michael Crabtree. He's better, but, like, he's not Megatron. You know?
But, I mean, there's only a few of those guys anyway.
No, I know. So it's
the
like
Julio
you're going to have the same passing attack with nothing on the periphery with a weaker running game. And a defense that lost its coordinator and most of its best players,
oh, yeah,
other than Navarro Bowman coming back, also from a very serious knee injury.
No, they're going to be lucky to win 4 or 5 games.
I really think we're looking at a really ugly season.
Yeah, I do too.
But let's get away from that now. I mean, that's kind of a bad thing that we got off on there.
That's you know, we still got till September to watch that train wreck.
Yeah, we got time. Let's give some positive love. Talk Chico State for a minute.
All right, let's do that. The men's basketball team this weekend lost a heartbreaker in their conference final by 5 in overtime. But they got an at-large bid, so they're going to be going to the NCAA Division II National Championship Tournament. Mm-hmm. There's 64 teams. They're coming in as a 6th seed in the West Regional, and they're playing California Baptist. That game's going to be at noon on Friday. If you don't feel like driving all the way down to Azusa Pacific University in Los Angeles, then you can check it out on KPAY locally. They
That's
had a great
1290,
year.
1290, right?
1290 on your AM dial. Yeah. They had an amazing, amazing year again this year. Last year they went the furthest. We've talked about this before. They went the furthest they've ever gone in their program's history. They went to the Elite Eight, mm-hmm, which was – so they came out of the West last year. They're going to play 3 games in 4 days. Starts Friday. If they march on, they'll play Friday, Saturday, and then Monday. And then the Elite Eight starts. They do it a little bit differently in Division II. They get it all done in 2 weekends instead of 3.
Right.
Like Division I, which we'll touch on here in a second.
Right.
But, so great year for the Wildcats, playing a really tough California Baptist team. I don't know how, reliable these seedings are necessarily. Like, you know what I mean? Like a 3 versus a 6, is it that big of a deal? I don't know. I haven't seen California Baptist play.
Neither have I.
So, but we'll see, a great year for the Wildcats, and hopefully they can bring it all home this year.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're hanging around at noon, 1290, check them out.
Yeah, check it out. Support, before you turn on Playing Dead.
That's right, exactly. Support your local athletics department. Let's talk a little Division I, Selection Sunday coming up.
Yep.
I was looking at the potential number one seeds, if people win their conference tournaments and all that. Now, I want to say that this is a wacky one, and I want your take on it.
Okay.
The possibility of Villanova being a one seed in the West. I mean, yeah. I know that regionally things don't line up, and it's always kind of strange, but they play outside of Philadelphia. Arizona's number 5. Isn't something about that kind of odd to you?
No, I think
Villanova can be a one in the West.
Well, I think with a strong Arizona team like they are, then yes, I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I've seen in years past, especially like following the UConn Huskies, there's been years where, it's between them and Duke to get the number one seed out east, mm-hmm, and Duke always winds up getting favored for that. So they've sent UConn out west as the number one seed a couple times. They've actually won the national championship twice coming out of that spot. But I agree with you. Like
like an unheard of thing. I just think it's strange.
No, absolutely. You want to have the best four teams get those seeds, obviously. But the way I was actually going to – it's funny that you bring up Arizona, because I was going to tell you that that's my favorite right now.
For the whole thing.
For someone to beat Kentucky.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Arizona, the way I've been watching them play a little bit recently, trying to, kind of brush up on the Pac-12 a little bit. And, it's maybe not the best year for the conference, mm-hmm, but they are definitely the best team. And that's with all due respect to Utah, who's having a phenomenal year.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those teams are going to be high seeds. If Arizona doesn't get that one out west, they'll undoubtedly be a number 2.
Yeah.
Unless something drastic happens, like they lose in the first round of the Pac-12 tournament, then maybe they drop to a 3, but I don't think so.
Right.
Arizona looks really, really good. Sean Miller's got them playing tough.
As far as Kentucky goes, obviously they're quite good, and they're undefeated, and they're, the number 1 because they're Kentucky.
Yeah.
But it's worth mentioning again, if we haven't mentioned it before, that they haven't played anybody this year.
SEC
only played
terrible.
A couple of ranked opponents the whole season.
Yeah.
Which doesn't mean, you're only as good as who you play, and, they beat people up. But, there's nothing to make me believe that they're just going to run the table through the tournament. Like, I think there's a really good chance they get beat when they go up against a solid ranked opponent for the first time.
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of good basketball teams out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you put Kentucky in the ACC, they did not go undefeated this year.
No, they've squeaked some out. I mean, I don't want to say they're Florida State squeakers in terms of, football comparisons, but they've been squeaking out some wins against unranked opponents.
Absolutely. I mean, you've got, the SEC is just not I mean, they're by and far, in my opinion anyway, the best in football. But when it comes to basketball, they're like maybe fifth out of the Power Five conferences.
Right.
You know, and I mean, if they run into a Duke, a Virginia, an Arizona, like we just said, you know, they could be in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to have to play 40 minutes of basketball and keep their attention. And honestly, to your point, I mean, I've seen John Calipari go through this a few times, maybe not undefeated, but he comes in with, like, you know, what should be head and shoulders, the number one team, whether it's with Memphis, you know, or even the last few years with Kentucky, and he winds up choking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's hard to say choking, but for as many, like, talented teams as he's had that have had, laden with future NBA prospects, you know, it's just surprising that he's only won not one national championship, to be honest with you.
True. And, you know, I mean, there's also teams like Virginia, Louisville. I mean, there's teams out there that
are more tested.
Yeah, that are more tested.
Yeah.
Kentucky also has a lot of turnover year to year because of the way they recruit
right.
and the way the NBA works now. You've got a lot of freshmen just
go straight
town.
To the NBA.
Yeah, so yeah. I obviously Kentucky's a really, really, really good team.
Well, they're talented.
You don't
there's
go
no
undefeated
doubt.
For no reason.
Absolutely.
But I like to think that they're going to get beat. I don't know. I just that's the way I feel.
That's my gut feeling too.
I also want to say that I think Gonzaga is going to be a really weak two seed.
Oh, absolutely.
I think Gonzaga is ripe for an early exit, and
just
that's
like yeah,
that's nothing new. But I mean, you know, there's been a little hype because they were undefeated for a while. I don't think they're that strong. I've watched quite a few of their games over the last handful of months, and.
Yeah.
I just don't think they're anything special. I think they could go out real early.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, especially second round. Say they do get a two seed and they draw, you know, a seven seed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking like that's basically, you know, the 25th through 28th, you know, best team in the nation.
Right.
You know, that's no – a seven seed is no scrub.
Right.
You know, you could get, you know, like even not a Louisville, but, you know, an Arkansas.
Right.
Perhaps.
Or you know some, I mean? You know, somebody squeaking in from the Pac-12 or
– Right.
You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
what if they play a – I don't know.
North Carolina.
Oregon.
Yeah.
You know, somebody like that.
Totally.
Yep. That could absolutely happen. And once again, I am getting closer and closer to living out a sports dream by seeing the first round
yes.
in person. So that's only 10 days away, and I'm really excited to be up in Portland
that's gonna
for
be
that.
Fun.
It's going to be great. 5:52 is the time here on Say Hey. Let's talk a little baseball real quick. It's getting closer and closer. Hunter Pence broke his forearm earlier this last week, got hit by a pitch up and in. You get hit on the hand of the forearm by a 90-something mile-an-hour fastball. It doesn't matter how tough you are, Iron Man or not.
Right.
Good chance you're going to be out for some time. Hunter Pence probably going to miss about 2 months, and that hurts for a giant offense that's going to have trouble scoring runs anyway. So you're looking at Blanco, Pagan, and Aoki, and that's if Pagan stays healthy the first 2 months. So that's not exactly an
exciting
talking way.
2 months from this point, right?
2 months from this point. So you're looking at Hunter Pence in May.
Okay.
First month of the season, probably out. And it is an odd year. So the odd year
so
is
not making the playoffs
very quickly. Yeah. That's a bummer. Reddick also out for 4 to 6 weeks for the A's. You know, spring training, you're going to pick up injuries. It's the way it goes. Darvish for the Rangers, maybe having season-ending elbow surgery.
Yeah, that would be a big blow for the Rangers.
Cashner came out early for the Padres today.
Who do you like in the West? AL West?
AL West?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be kind of a dogfight. I think most of those teams are pretty competitive. Even the A's being kind of weird and down.
Right.
I still think they have the pitching alone right. to compete. I don't think they're going to be anything like they were in the early portion of last year. I think the Astros will be better. I mean, obviously the Angels are solid.
Right.
Other than the Rangers, who I think will be really bad again, I think all the other, you know.
Yeah, I'm thinking Mariners.
Mariners are obviously
going to squeak it out by a game or two.
Yeah, I think the AL West is a real dogfight with maybe the Angels and the Mariners battling it out for first place.
Mm-hmm.
A's, I think, are more of a 500-ish team this year.
I could see them sticking in there for a while, the first 4 or 5 months of the season, then kind of fading late.
Yeah, I'm just really curious to see what happens with their lineup. It's been so turned over.
Yeah.
And, you know, not to switch into the AL East because, you know, we want to do divisional previews in a couple of weeks, but I'm still wondering, you know, where are the Red Sox going to get their pitching from? You know, what's going to happen with their starting lineup? Their starting rotation. Their offense has gotten so much press that people are kind of sweeping under the rug the fact that they don't have any proven current arms in the rotation.
Well, Clay Buchholz is still there.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, he's pretty proven.
He's pretty proven in the past, but I don't know. You going to pin your pennant hopes to Clay?
No, I'm not. But, I mean, I look around, and I do like that lineup. I think they're going to score a lot of runs.
They are going to score a lot of runs.
They're going to give up a lot of runs.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I don't know. That's such a tough division. I know the Yankees are down a little bit. Baltimore's obviously been really coming on strong the last 2 years.
Rays will probably be pretty bad this year.
Rays, I think, are way down.
Yeah.
You know, Toronto, they keep spending money.
They're kind of weird. I don't know what to make of Toronto. I mean, I assume they're going to be 500-ish with maybe an upside.
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah. The one thing I will... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to go back to the Sox for a minute.
Yeah, so...
As much as offense is fabulous and wonderful, I mean, we know that when you get into the postseason, it's really pitching that's going to get it done.
Absolutely.
Pitching and timely hitting.
Yep.
So, who knows? Their bullpen's pretty good.
Yeah, that's the point I was just going to say, is if they can get to the seventh inning,
yeah,
you know, then I'm liking our chances.
Right.
You know what I mean? Their bullpen is definitely strong. Huge for us 2 years ago in that World Series run. So, yeah, I don't like the starting five.
Mm-hmm.
But the Red Sox, you know, they typically spend money.
Yep.
So if they're in the race come the deadline, you know, look for them to pick up another arm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting, and it's only 3 weeks away.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They might even make a move before then. I mean, like, I think Cole Hamels said he doesn't want to pitch for the Phillies.
Yeah.
I don't know what can be done about that. Cliff Lee, he might be having maybe career-ending surgery.
Yep, he got pulled early, too. That's another one.
You know, we'll see. It depends on if it's just straight scar tissue. If not, it could be something more serious.
Yeah, he is at the end of his rope, though.
He's 36.
Yeah, he's coming up
You do see – you tend to see pitchers – I mean, not tend to see it, but you do get these guys that play into their late 30s, early 40s.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you know, testing's a lot more strict these days, and
yep.
I don't want to make too many insinuations, but I don't know if these guys can push out the longevity of the career like they used to.
Rebound like they were maybe 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah, when, you know, HGH wasn't as stringently tested.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I mean, sometimes I think – really, I mean, if I'm reading into it correctly, you're just getting lucky if you're not – you know, I mean, because there's a little random selection to it.
Yeah.
You never know when your number is going to come up.
Right.
You know what I mean?
As far as being tested. Yeah.
I mean, so you're kind of rolling the dice if you're still doing that.
For sure.
Obviously, it's never going to be completely gone. I know that people think that
it's... Because they're always coming up with newer, better stuff.
They're always coming up with newer, better stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, people get caught.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not like it was 15 years ago where it was just a free-for-all.
Right.
People get caught. I did find Pablo's comments about missing his Giants teammates kind of funny. That came out in an article today, how he misses Bochy and Pence and all the guys. Thought that was kind of an odd thing to say. But,
yeah.
But that's Pablo for you.
That is Pablo.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I know. I kind of chuckled when I heard that. I was like, that's going to piss off some Red Sox fans. Welcome to Pablo world.
Right.
Yeah. But it's 5:58. We're going to wrap it up here on Say Hey, let you know that we have Say Hey been made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Dr. Michael Shuell, clinical psychologist offering psychotherapy for adults and play therapy for children. Dr. Shuell helps people find meaning and depth in their lives and deal with issues including depression, anxiety, trauma. He also works with children as young as 5 years old. Located in Chico, Dr. Shuell can be reached at 891-6292. Let's not forget Seven Diamonds Orchards, producers of raw certified organic almonds, organic almond butter, and raw natural honey. Seven Diamonds Orchards are at the Saturday Chico Farmers Market, or you can order directly by calling 343-5776 and by emailing sevendiamondsorchards@yahoo.com. Organic almond butter is also available at Chico Natural Foods and S&S Produce. Noobs, it was a pleasure.
As always.
Next week, I promise to be less bitter about one of my teams. But sometimes, you know, you just...
Hey, it's understandable.
It's understandable.
I'm not looking forward to the days when Brady and Belichick are gone.
No.
Those are going to be tough.
No. And you know what? Really, I just really loved Patrick Willis. He was a hard player not to love.
He was.
He is. And I'm bummed that he's going to be gone. Honestly bummed. You know what I mean?
I do.
Just one of those character guys that...
Totally.
You know, even when times are weird, you're like, oh, well, Patrick Willis is there.
Right. That's kind of how I feel about Vince Wilfork.
Right.
He's been
Vince is gone.
The key piece to that defense for over a decade. And so that one's tough to
swallow.
A little bit.
Yeah. But we'll be back next week. Stick around. Grant's got some news programming on the way. Take you out with a little Mets. They've got a new album coming out. That's M-E-T-Z Mets. And we will
see you.
Not
the New York Mets.
Not the New York Mets.
Not the Metropolitans.
They don't have an album coming out. We'll see you next week.